The Around the NFL Podcast can play Glycerine on the guitar.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some different heroes, Colleen Wolf, Christopher Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys and girls?
Hey, Dan.
Hey.
What's happening?
Welcome back, Connie Fox.
It's great to be here.
You know, this is why Connie Fox is so great. First of all, always does a great job on the show. But we hit her up on text 12 hours before the show. She's like, I'm in. What are you doing?
I'm basically on call.
I mean, we're paying you under the table to be here.
Right.
So welcome back.
Thanks.
Sessler doesn't like getting edged out here, this trend of like, you know, all right, Sessler, just take a day off, go to Canton. We basically just sent him away to Canton just to mix it up a little.
He actually did say like he's a little uncomfortable that every time he leaves, a charismatic female steps into his spot. Because eventually a suit's going to be like, well, that makes sense a little
bit. That works.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, so get back soon, Mark.
Yeah, he's at the Hall of Fame. He's gonna tell us on Monday how that's been going. He's going to go to practice in Cleveland for the Browns. So that'll be good.
Nobody can replace Mark.
No. No. Mark is a touchstone part of the show. I will also say that that Mark is going to be – he's in Canton snapping photos right now, so he's doing the entire experience. He will be at the Indian Burial Ground. So, yeah, on Monday we're going to get him on the phone and see what's going on in Berea and beyond. Wes, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Last show we had a superstar, Tony Romo, on our airways. I will say we did get some heat about Romo. Some people are like, he's a little stiff and, you know, don't have athletes on the show. We got some good feedback, too. It's like, listen, when a big-time star comes on, we're going to talk to Tony Romo on the phone. You'll notice we have less people on as guests because we try to avoid that, but we're going to have Tony on and see what happens.
I agree with the people who said that.
Well, I already heard way more positive than negative.
About Romo's spot?
On Romo coming. People were just excited. I mean, first of all, to know that he's that big of a fan of the show that he called Dan and I up separately.
Wow.
Said, get me on anytime you can fit in. So we're like, all right, let's wait till – this was 3 months ago. He said, let's wait till August when something opens up.
He shot me a DM like at 3 a.m. yesterday, and he was like, hey, you sure that went okay?
I was like, yeah.
Tone.
He lit up when he was talking about arts and crafts, Tony Romo.
He asked me how the
Wilco
Wilco concert was.
Yeah.
Weird.
Wilco concert was great, by the way. We'll get into that a little later. We have a great show for you. And, you know, again, I don't throw around great. Sometimes I say good. This is a great show.
You're feeling good about it?
Yeah. We got the whole crew together. Connie Fox, TD Behind the Glass, Sully, Brandon. Great show. We're going to get into – there's a lot of news to get to, including some big news out of San Francisco that we'll touch on. We'll also get into, listen, there's a lot of hacks out there, a lot of jabronis, I call them, in this sports media journos that are covering, these are the storylines in the NFL. No. Forget that. We're going to do some under-the-radar storylines that will be just as important, if not more important, than the ones all the hacks are talking about.
Wow. Gonna blow your mind.
He smirched a whole field of
these
people.
Stories.
Who cares?
People
about
never
anything.
Thought the way we're thinking about these under the radar.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
It's revolutionary.
Changing the game, one podcast at a time. We're also going to welcome back our old friend Connor Orr a little later in the show. I think you know what that means. I'll leave it at that. And also, we'll touch base with Chris Wessling, who, after hours and days and perhaps years of work, has unveiled his latest long form on the Houston Oilers of the late 70s and early 80s. We'll talk a little bit about that. But before any of that, we will check in with TD Behind the Glass back from the award show. Have we been in with TD since his trip?
No, guys. How you guys doing?
Planning to tell us that we didn't win
well,
the award?
I was going to tell you guys if we had good news.
Okay. That's fair.
And I did tweet it out.
Ooh,
I did
awkward.
Tweet congrats to the Grantland team of Jalen and Jacoby that beat us out.
Well,
who are they?
Guys with a podcast.
Hey, would you mind, though, because my favorite part of your trip was when you posted on Facebook the photo of you on the panel.
Yeah.
Looking very intellectual. Do you mind if we put that up on our Around the League handle, Around the NFL handle?
Sure.
The photo. There you go. So
it's also me and Sarah Koenig of Serial.
Koenig was there.
TD doesn't practice that smart face in the mirror for hours for nothing. He wants that to be used.
Any sparks between you and the Koenig?
No, she's a little bit hung up on a nod. If you listen to Serial, you'd know.
Whoa.
Little inside Serial joke. I like it.
Serial.
Good job by TD.
I've got a bone to pick with you, TD.
What's up?
I woke up early today, and I watched Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yep.
I gave it 4.5 episodes, and I was about to find out if I had an Unbreakable iPad. Oh. You can see the jokes in that show coming from three blocks away.
I wasn't a fan either.
That doesn't speak well, Wes. Guys, or Colleen. That is a great show.
That is a great
show.
No,
you can see the jokes coming from so far away. It's pretty lame.
It's well done, though. It's not well done. Surprise me.
Oh,
you know, it's she's so charismatic.
The girl is cute. The girl is cute, but come on.
I'll watch it and settle it.
I'm going to side with Tina Fey's comedic mind on this one. Personally, I think it's a great show. But we're all entitled to our opinions.
It was like Trainwreck, sort of same thing. Underwhelming.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. It was really predictable.
Yeah. Comedy, predictable comedy isn't good comedy.
Mm. Hey, are you okay, TD? Wes just went at you pretty hard there with the flamethrower.
Dude, I'm all over Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Wes is my dude, but we're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Okay, let's do some news.
What the hell's going on out here?
That's what you call a statement drop by TD, who's been getting a lot of brushback on Twitter about where are the drops. I think he's got a big comeback in store today.
Oh, yeah, the jobs we can use, baby.
All right. Like this kind of party.
Wow. Fire.
All I know is you mess with me, you got problems.
That's all I know.
Yeah, enough, J.J. Watt.
TD's confident.
Don't tell him I said that. All right, let's start with the big news out of San Francisco. Alden Smith, the troubled pass rusher for the Niners, was arrested on late Thursday night for a hit-and-run DUI and vandalism were the charges. This is the same Alden Smith, of course, that has been arrested for DUI three times since 2012. And the 49ers, who already obviously were on guard about where Smith was as a person right now and his health and all that, acted quickly. On Friday, they announced that they were releasing Alden Smith, who now, in addition to his legal charges, now no longer has a team, which is a pretty stunning fall from grace for a guy in his first couple of years, who's regarded as, you know, one of the top young pass rushers in football and was on a historic type pace. So Alden Smith no longer with the 49ers. Jim Tomsula, who I'm liking more every day, I got to say.
I love him.
Jim Tomsula spoke passionately about Alden Smith, and we have the clip right here for you.
It's a sad day. Okay. This is a day that doesn't have anything to do about football. Although he won't be playing football for the San Francisco 49ers, he will be supported and helped. And he will not have to walk this path alone. If one person out there reads this and you're struggling, get help. Go get it. You're worth it. You're worth it. There's value in every human being. Get the help. You don't have to walk alone.
Powerful stuff, Chris Wessler.
Very powerful. That was Jim Tomsula can be, I mean, obviously much better than his introductory press conference, but he can be a charismatic guy.
You can see why players love him. But if he has that sort of emotion, and I heard someone react to it like, oh, what he's really thinking is we're in trouble without Smith. And I'm thinking, no, this is
–
I'm a cynical guy, but like Jim Tomsula, I believe, feels this with all his heart, and they are concerned about Alden Smith. With that said, the ownership, and I'm sure Tomsula was part of it, made a very quick decision that he was no longer going to be on the team anymore.
Well, the guy's been arrested five times since 2012, and Tomsula made it pretty clear that as an organization, they believe that he needs to vote 100% of his attention and time to his off-field issues.
I guess it was a little surprising to me just because they have shown a lot of patience with him. And listen, Greg, you tweeted about it. Star players have a whole different level of rope than end of the roster guys, and they stayed true to him. But this time, even without – and this seems like a DUI case that we don't really know all the details yet, but it's not your standard pulled over on the highway and, you know, you blow the breathalyzer past 1-0 or whatever. This seems like something else was cooking. But whatever the case was, they decided to act immediately without letting the jurisdiction play out.
It's really sad because he's so talented, and when he's on the field, it's great, but he has all of these issues, and it's like a tornado of bad news for the 49ers this entire offseason. And Jim Tomsula, you could see how passionate he was when he was talking about it. He definitely cares about him, but it seems like he doesn't have a choice.
What's next, guys, for the 49ers? Because after Alden Smith is removed from the team, this is a team that's lost so many players. I mean, you can go straight down the list. What an offseason it's been. What's next?
But they've got – Greg and I were talking about this earlier. The only two defensive starters left from that Super Bowl team from a few years ago are Navarro Bowman and Ahmad Brooks. They drafted Aaron Lynch last year, who had a good rookie year, but he's not Alden. Alden Smith, only four players have had 40 sacks in the first three seasons: Reggie White, Derek Thomas, Alden Smith, and Dwight Freeney. That's the company he keeps. Nobody else in that roster can even come close to that kind of production.
Well, it's interesting. I was thinking, if they're going to lose someone at a position, this is a fairly deep position as it goes. A lot of teams have worse starters out there than Ahmad Brooks, and you have Lynch, and you have, you know, Aaron Lynch, and you have some good players at that position. It's amazing that Brooks is even still on the roster. He's had his own arrest problems. I mean, it's insane if you look at what the 49ers have gone through this offseason. We have written three different, oh my God, the 49ers are in trouble type of posts. Here's
the rundown. Mikey Iupati, Frank Gore, Chris Culver, Michael Crabtree, and Parrish Cox all leave in free agency. Harbaugh leaves, you know. Borland, 24, retires. Anthony Davis, 25, retires. Patrick Willis, 30 years old, retires. Justin Smith retires. That one not as shocking. But that's an amazing, incredible amount of guys to lose. And how do you bounce back from that?
And when Alden Smith is right, do you think that he's their most talented defensive player?
Oh, without
a
doubt.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a huge loss for them.
I think he would, you know, after 2 years, you would have thought he's in the top five defensive players in the entire NFL, that there's no doubt about that.
And for him to not be on a team right now is mind-blowing.
Well, it raises the question, will he be on a team? Now, I know the 49ers believe that he needs to devote all his time to addressing this, and that seems like the healthy thing to do. The first public words Alden Smith made about this comment was that it was not a DUI, a little defiant, and it's up to him whether he wants to continue his career, because this is going to get him in trouble maybe with another suspension. I do think teams are going to be interested. He's a free agent, and it's very rare that someone this talented is out there. Greg Hardy got a job. Alden Smith's going to get a job.
Junior Blett got a job.
He's going to get a job at some point. Now, I don't know if it's going to be in the next week or they'll wait for the league to come down.
We're probably not going to see him this year.
He's going to get a big suspension.
It's hard to speculate, but you would imagine after another misstep here, if it plays out in the legal process, that it's going to be hard to imagine him playing football in 2015.
Well, he was suspended for 9 games, it turned out to be, and then this would be another infraction of the substance abuse policy, almost no matter what happened. So you're right. It might be a year suspension, and teams might wait to hear from the league before they do anything about it.
Keep an eye on Jerry Jones.
I
could definitely see that.
I don't see that. After you've already taken on Greg Hardy, and I don't see that.
It's all setting up for Eric Mangini to win that Coordinator of the Year award. Narratives.
The ceiling's low.
Everyone's gone. Everyone's expecting a bad team. You know, they have some talent. Dockett, Glenn Dorsey, Eric Armstead, Bethea. It's not the worst looking defense in the world. Just saying.
It's just so different looking, though.
Yeah. All right, moving on. So Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler, once upon a time, were teammates with the Bears. It didn't work out. Marshall traded to the Jets. And he was on First Take, the ESPN Bloviator program, where he had this to say about Jay Cutler and their relationship, or I guess how his relationship with the Bears started to falter. Here's the quote. "I feel like I was the only one in the organization that had the huevos." Colleen, that's eggs.
Yeah. I speak Spanish.
Yeah.
Baxter.
To hold him accountable, referring to Jay Cutler. He also had this to say, "I think when you strap it on and you say, I'm going to play for the Bears or I'm going to play for the Jets, you give it your all. You've got to play for more than the money. You've got to play for more than yourself." So, Greg, pretty kind of pointed words that maybe a work ethic issue with Jay Cutler, it goes beyond just his struggles on the field.
We've heard about these whispers about Jay Cutler for years, that he doesn't put in the work. And really, Marshall is the first one to kind of put his name on him and just put it out there. And a lot of, you know, coaches, they always love Jay Cutler coming in, and then they're always going out about a year or two later.
Another time we heard criticism of Jay Cutler was from an announcer. It was weird because John Gruden never criticizes anyone on Monday Night Football. And late last year, he just picked Jay Cutler apart the whole – and the point was, this guy isn't prepared to play. He couldn't pick up blitzes. He didn't know the coverages to call at the line of scrimmage. And for John Gruden to point that kind of stuff out, it seems like the same things Brandon Marshall's saying.
Well, it seems like it's coming from somewhere, and you don't like to source out, but Mark Trestman and John Gruden are buddies, and, you know, Trestman's throwing Cutler under the bus.
Yeah, and we saw them have good chemistry at first in Denver and in Chicago. I mean, Brandon Marshall had back-to-back 100-catch seasons in Denver and then Chicago again, and then last year it just all fell apart. So these two clearly have some bad blood that was brewing, and we saw it all last season.
By the way, this is getting linked to right now for a different Jay Cutler story right now.
Yeah.
And they changed the headline to, I had the guts to call out Cutler.
Just put it, I had.
You got the hate.
I had the eggs to call out Jay Cutler.
I love, though, that there was another quote about Cutler this week. Adam Gase says, his intelligence is way better than what I thought. Which is
backhanded compliment.
And it reminded us of a post that Chris Wessling wrote just 2 years ago. Quote, Jay Cutler is borderline brilliant, Bears quarterback coach says. So.
And Brandon Marshall also said what everybody was thinking last year. He said, you look at that offense on paper, you had Alshon Jeffrey, Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte, that offensive line, and it did not translate at all. Everybody was thinking that. What the heck was going on?
Where Colleen does bad blood rank in the Taylor Swift power rankings for singles?
You know, I don't even want to like Taylor Swift, but I watched that video and I kind of kept playing it again and again.
But where is it?
It's up there.
Five? Top
it's
five.
Top five for sure.
What's number one?
It might be that. I kind of like it.
Right.
I know.
Dan, are you cool with the Brandon Marshall post next year when he's talking trash about Geno Smith?
Yeah, from the CFL. All right, moving on. The Detroit Lions and DeAndre Levy, their stud linebacker, have worked out a new extension, a four-year $33.7 million deal. This went down on Wednesday. The team announced it. The deal is worth $20 million in guarantees. And, you know, one of the league's top weak side linebackers, Chris Wessling, but maybe not a guy that gets the pub, but the Lions had the foresight or the smarts to lock up this guy.
Linebackers in 4-3 defenses do not get publicity. They don't get Pro Bowls. Lavonte David, Thomas Davis, DeAndre Levy, probably the three best 4-3 linebackers in the NFL over the past 3 years. None of them has been to the Pro Bowl. Mm. DeAndre Levy, I thought last year, was one of the 6 or 7 best defensive players in the NFL. The Lions had the best defense in the league statistically, I believe, for most of the season. And Levy and Sue basically drove that defense. He sideline to sideline, in on every play, led the NFL in solo tackles last year. He's a playmaker.
Something's wrong with the Pro Bowl format when those guys have never been to a Pro Bowl and Andy Dalton's been twice.
There's
Jermaine Gresham went once. I think like 15 tight ends.
That's
dropped
bad,
out
dog.
That
That's bad.
One of my Twitter followers had an interesting idea. Why not have one team a 3-4 defense and the other team a 4-3 defense in the Pro Bowl?
I like that.
That is a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, Levy, when you look at their roster, he's probably their best defensive player. He had back-to-back solid seasons, 119 tackles in 2013. He had 151 last season. He deserves what he got. And he said that Sue was not the defense.
Very quick tackler, very instinctive, which is usually the word that people use for smart, that he basically can see the plays before they're happening and go get it. When Wes was doing his top 10 defensive players in the entire league last year, he put him in the top five.
Ahead, he and Sue tied for number five.
Okay.
They drove that defense. But it was really telling that the video that they put on the top of – I think you wrote the story on his contract, right? The video they put on top of that
can't
was –
I can't remember anything past
it was his top 100 video, and they have a really cool scene with Tom Brady talking to Josh McDaniels, and Brady's just saying Levy and Sue are all over the field. They're everywhere. We can't get anything complete because they cover the whole thing.
So they take care of business – do the Lions, and we move on now. Let's talk a little bit about the injuries. Injuries piling up a little bit this week, so we decided to do kind of like a roundup. We'll start, actually, though, with Kevin White, the rookie wide receiver for the Bears, top 10 pick. They're expecting a lot from him, but his recovery from this mysterious shin injury is not going to plan so far. Ian Rappaport reported on Inside Training Camp on NFL Network on Thursday that he hasn't done any running on hard ground. He's doing all his work in the whirlpool. And from Ian's understanding, Ian, whose hair probably isn't natural, I'll throw out there.
Whoa.
Well, you keep saying that, but what do you mean? Because it looks to me a lot of product in it, very hard.
I think he dyes his hair.
Okay.
He's categorically denied that.
It wasn't until he was calling me out for having gray hair that I feel like I have to launch this assault. But, you know, keep it real.
So you're calling him a liar.
So I was just clarifying because you could have been talking hair plugs, you know, some sort of formula.
No, I think his hair.
They have the spray can to cover up bald spots. That's one of the things out there.
I mean, all that's probably in play in the future for him. But for now, it's just for men.
Would you ever dye your hair?
I've thought about it, yeah. But then I realized I would be too self-conscious to walk around in public.
It would be amazing if you did it.
Especially, yeah, because now it's too late already. You got to hit that off, like, right away.
Anyway, so we're talking about Kevin White. So there's a good chance he'll remain on the PUP list when the season starts, so he can miss the first six regular season games. This is not good news for the Bears.
I hate this because when you think about a rookie receiver and the chemistry that you have to build between a receiver and a quarterback just in training camp alone, that trust, the quarterback needs that trust to throw the ball to him, and they're not going to build any of that, and they might not even build it until, like, at what point in the regular season?
On a smaller scale, I was talking about when Devin Smith for the Jets hurt himself. He's not going to be able to get any chemistry. He's not going to get any NFL reps, and you worry about what that will do to his season. Here's some other injuries. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. DeSean Jackson fell. Originally, it was reported that he ran into
a blocking sled.
But I think he fell near the sled and hurt his shoulder. He'll be out a couple weeks. Fred Jackson has a hamstring. Todd Gurley. Jeff Fisher told Andrew Siciliano today on NFL Network that he's probably not going to play in the preseason. But that won't mean necessarily that he won't play in the regular season to start. Does anybody have any words on that situation, Wes?
I thought the most interesting part of that was Jeff Fisher adding that whether Gurley is 100% or not, there will be a heavy rotation because they believe Trey Mason, the word he used is special, which backs up what Greg's been saying.
I've been saying that
for
weeks.
About this most exciting backfield in the NFL.
This is one of the weirdest points you've ever tried to pick with me, Wes, that somehow Trey Mason and Todd Gurley are not a very exciting duo.
How is it that you always ignore the fact that Gurley's coming off an ACL injury?
Well, eventually he'll be healthy. People get excited about rookies. You are ready to put Kevin White in Canton. He can't even, you know, run on hard ground.
It's the Rams.
Football's
too.
Not played in the pool, Wes. You got to get on the grass.
I've played football in the pool before.
What is the old line? You can't make the club in the tub.
Can't make
exactly.
the club.
Yeah,
you're a fool in the pool.
What? I've never heard that one.
I just made that up.
Just keep going.
You're a schlub in the tub.
Michael Floyd too.
Michael Floyd, by the way, gross injury. Three dislocated fingers. Did we ever get the what happened with that? How did that happen? Did he get stepped on? I'm not sure. But
he had a teddy bear with him on Instagram.
I think he actually – I don't know how it happened, but he landed on the football. I don't see how that made skin go through his –
Three finger. Dislocated fingers or, and the skin, his bones went through the fingers. But they think he might miss week one but won't be out too long. I feel like my career would be over. I'd just cut the fingers off because that's too close.
Get rid of them. Yeah, you don't need them.
Darren McFadden still nursing that hamstring strain. He'll be back. On the defensive side of the ball, Mark's boy, Markevious Mingo, he got his knee scoped. He's out a few weeks. They hope he'll be back in a month, but that's just a hopeful timetable according to Rap Sheet. Robert Mathis might not be back till October with that Achilles injury. D. Milner, my boy, the former number one pick of the Jets, had wrist surgery on Friday or will be having surgery after getting hurt in practice. He continues to be snake bit. And our boy Kiko Alonso, the chunky soup, pitchman, suffered a concussion, so that's something to keep an eye on.
I would keep an eye on the McFadden and Fred Jackson injuries. Fred Jackson, we talked about as a guy that might not make the Bills team necessarily. He was expected to. You missed 3 weeks and your hamstring's not ready for week one. They could think about cutting him. And Darren McFadden, I've been thinking they're going to sign another veteran there this whole time. And if he doesn't get back and look good, I think that's almost for sure going to happen.
Also, the Floyd injury, good news for John Brown, too.
Mm. Smokey Brown. Making the leap.
All right. Hey, just for fun, Wes, John Brown, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
70 receptions over under.
I think he nailed it. 70.
1,200 yards over under.
Under.
8 touchdowns.
Under.
He had 5 last year.
By the way, talk about not answering the question, 70, as if he's going to exactly get 70.
Yeah, that's
what
I think.
What would the odds be?
Hey, let's talk about this when he
gets
exactly
70. 1 in
100. Is there a sandwich on that?
I'm just saying 73 or 68
Look,
or whatever.
Dan. Dan is a little bit of a seer here.
Just watch. Just remember.
He's going to have 70.
I like John Brown. I'm going over for that one.
On
wow. 80. 81, 1,200.
Whoa. Pick him up in your fantasy.
That's
fantasy.
Oh,
Fantasy Spectacular Week for Around the NFL podcast is coming up starting next week, I believe. No, the week of August 16th. We're going to dedicate parts of all three shows to some fantasy talks. I got these football heads in here, and I got to do something with them.
And Mark.
And Colin.
And Mark.
Mark's here. He'll be here to keep us company. But, you know, with Wes and Greg here, these guys built Roto World brick by brick. So just get ready for all that stuff. Apologies to Evan Silva, who's, like, throwing his podcast player against the wall. Hey, before we move on, Michael Floyd, gross injury. A tweet I had a couple days ago, grossest sports injuries, 5-1. Number 5, dislocated elbow. Number 4, collapsed / punctured lung. Number 3, ruptured Achilles. Gross. Number 2, quote, muscle torn from bone.
Oh, ooh, yeah, yeah, that one.
That is the Arian Foster special. And the number 1 grossest sports injury is... compound fracture.
That's the longest drum roll drop ever.
I mean, Dan completely interrupted our production meeting and our pre-show setup just to get that in.
Give me what I want.
You know, this guy, man.
I want what I want.
No, that's huge for compound fracture, though, just because things have been going great for to get that kind of recognition. It's huge.
It's been a long time coming.
Long overlooked. The greatest of all gross sports industry injuries. So, yes, that's that. All right. So that's what's happening in the news. One little last bit of news, TD. I'll throw it to you because you're very knowledgeable and you have a lot of like quality hot takes on this. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson hinted on the Dan Patrick show this week that Ciara, his pop star girlfriend, could soon be engaged. And I guess Patrick had a follow up. What's going to come first, Super Bowl ring or engagement ring? Wilson responded,
hopefully both.
Real?
I hate this story.
Come on. Really, Russell Wilson?
Russ, I'm not even going to speak.
How about this? Talk directly to Russell Wilson.
Exactly. I'm going to speak directly to his friends.
Are you off of him yet?
He's my guy. He's
my hard to root for.
But I'm going to speak to his friends.
Read an article about his friends in Sports Illustrated. You'll think differently about
give
him.
Give TD the floor.
If you're Russell's boys right now, this is where you earn your keep. You need to pull your boy Russell to the side and be like, dude, you need to slow it down. You know, you need to slow down. No, Ciara's hot. I know she's
play
amazing.
It cool.
Exactly. You already have the girl. You don't need to act like a fan right now, Russell. Mm. You can't be. Even if you do want to get married to this girl, you don't put that out there on the news.
Right.
What happens is surprising with the proposal and all that stuff. Russell, holler at me. We can talk about this, man, because you need some help.
I like the relationship advice. From
excellent
TD.
Analysis by TD.
So you're that's saying right. You shouldn't very talk about on. Your relationship to Dan Patrick.
Exactly.
Okay. It's not only that. It's
okay.
That,
got it.
It's that maybe Ciara and Russell Wilson are on the same page on this, but what if Ciara is just like,
I know.
I'm having fun with this football player, and he's going on and telling like people in the media that he's hoping to have an engagement ring on her finger in like six months.
That's my biggest fear.
Total deal breaker.
As a Seahawks fan now, that's my biggest fear. That
oh,
that
you're
happens.
A Seahawks fan now that they've been to the Super Bowl.
He said he is.
Colleen, you're a married woman now, but imagine at the early stage of your courtship, with Gonzo.
Courtship.
If he would have been saying that. It, like,
well, we only dated for 5 months, and then we were engaged.
Ooh. Really?
It works for some.
So he did
some.
A
whirlwind romance.
But did he ever go on CSN Philly and just start talking about it?
Never.
So.
Let's save this for the Cupid Strikes Hard podcast with Colleen. We'll save that for February.
Cupid Strikes
Great.
Hard.
Yeah. Sounds like a good one.
Anyway, but my point being, forget Gonzo for a second. I mean more just the idea of someone – telling the public about his intentions about your relationship to get married, just kind of
no
weird.
Way. It's, yeah.
It's fine as long as it's a complete PR scheme that will be over in six
months.
Oh,
it is too.
That's what I'm expecting.
And that's even grosser. That would be the only thing more disappointing. All right, let's move on. All right, under the radar storylines. I told you about all those chumps in the media that all they do like blah 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 blah. Here's important things. Peyton Manning's arm strength. Forget all that. We're going deeper. We're digging. That's the type of stuff we do around here, under the radar storylines from camp, stuff that not everybody's talking about. And I've set it up so much, it's only fitting that Connie Fox starts it off. What is your under the radar storyline?
So,
right now?
Tim Tebow, it seems like, all right, yeah, sure, he might not be under the radar. But the under the radar thing about Tim Tebow,
they never talk about this guy.
Brandon Graham is in love with Tim Tebow, right? So, not only did he say that he's going to make the team,
he's going to get a ring on his finger by February.
He's going to score 9 touchdowns, he said.
Whoa.
Jeremy Maclin led the team last year with 10 touchdowns. Mm. LeSean McCoy had 5. There's no way. He's going to score 9 touchdowns.
It's a very specific number, too.
It is.
Exactly.
It's
so,
almost like he has buzzes all
the time. It's almost like you with John Brown.
Yeah.
That's right. 70 catches. Yeah, so that takes a lot of huevos to say that, I think.
Eggs.
If Tim Tebow scores 9 touchdowns this year, all of our lives will be less enjoyable.
I thought you were going to say, you'll eat my softball pants.
No, I wouldn't do that.
All the mainstream media pundits are, Tom Tebow? Who's that?
Tom Tebow.
That's what we're about. What? Colleen, good
one. Yeah.
That was good.
I have an actual good one, but we won't go into that now. We got Wes up.
I've got.
We're coming back to you.
Tebow's making the team. She's right. I didn't think he was going to make the team. He's going to make the team.
Remember Doug Martin? Used to be a good running back for the Buccaneers.
Worst nickname in the world.
Muscle Hamster?
Yeah.
Did you know he's starting for the Bucs again? He's going to be their lead back, Lovie Smith said this week. Under the radar. I feel like every year we look for a guy in the preseason. 2 years ago it was Ryan Matthews. Last year it was Mark Ingram. Guys who have been written off as no good anymore, but they're former number one draft picks. And you can see when they play in the preseason that these guys have recaptured whatever form they lost. Ingram had it last year, Matthews the year before. I think Doug Martin could be that guy. I really think C.J. Spiller's the guy, but I'm confident in that. Doug Martin's the guy I want to see.
C.J. Spiller is the storyline that all the jabroni schmoes know. You're talking Doug.
Yeah, I'm talking under their radar.
Well, it's never been explained why Doug Martin turned into a bad running back.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, he had the shoulder injury in 2013, but last year.
This is interesting, though. Shoulder injuries on running backs, you don't think about it because it's not their legs. But if you watch any running back who's had a shoulder injury, they stop hitting the hole aggressively. Ryan Matthews, perfect example, broke both clavicles that year before. Mark Ingram last year was blowing through defenses, then had a shoulder injury, and you could tell his explosive playmaking ability wasn't there. They just don't blow through holes as hard.
And maybe the blocking will be better, too, with two new guys on the offensive line, Donovan Smith, Allie Marbet.
I would not hold my breath for that one.
Allie Marbet, I don't know about Hobart, but
it's,
we'll see.
Connor's boy. Allie Marpet. I've got a candidate to be the kind of Ryan Matthews or Mark Ingram who emerges in preseason. How about Ryan Matthews?
I like it.
People saying Ryan Matthews looking better than DeMarco Murray in Philadelphia.
Everybody was all over him yesterday.
I'm just saying I feel like Ryan Matthews, if you put them next to each other, Louis Riddick, who's really good on ESPN, he says if you watch them in practice, Ryan Matthews is better running.
You know who else has been saying that all offseason on this podcast?
Colleen.
Oh.
No.
Don't be surprised if Ryan Matthews outrushes DeMarco Murray. I've been saying that since they signed both.
I like that.
I will throw one out there. And we're talking up the Broncos. As long as Peyton Manning is healthy, they're going to be in the mix. They got this running back running game now. It's solid. You got all the receiving targets. But people aren't talking about under the radar is this Broncos offensive line, which is in tatters right now. And you have a 70-year-old quarterback, and you got a running game that you're going to lean on hard. You want to turn Manning into like the new Elway from the late 90s. But you have Luis Vasquez is back. He's the right guard. But you could have four starters, new starters on their line. Orlando Franklin left in free agency. Ryan Clady hurt his knees out for the year. So as much as we get excited, as long as Peyton's okay, the Broncos are okay, if they have a bad line – first of all, Peyton's going to get hurt if that happens, and the running game won't take off.
Let's give some kudos to TD. They've got some training camp offensive line footage. At one point
– that goes to Sully, actually.
Okay, good job, Sully.
Good job, guys. I would say, though, that the offensive linemen, that group has to have consistency, maybe more than any other group. They need to play together and know each other well for it to work. And with all of these new pieces and the inexperience, that's concerning.
Well, and they're still figuring out who it's going to be. So on Thursday – for the first time, they had Trimbuo, whatever it is, at left tackle.
Ty Sambrio?
Sambrio at left tackle. Then you have Max Garcia, left guard, Matt Paradise at center. All three of those guys have never taken a snap in the NFL.
Those last two guys, you made them up.
No, one
Matt
guy
Paradise?
Was, one guy was on the practice squad last year, another rookie. None of them.
Sounds like a character from Jack Kerouac.
There's a chance that from left tackle to center, they'll have three guys that have never played a snap.
It's pretty wild.
That's a concern. You don't hear national guys talking about that.
Is there any other quarterback that could deal with it better, though, maybe?
Watch 15.
That's a fair point.
You're afraid of him getting hurt, but.
It's a fair point because of his pre-snap judgment.
Right.
But he's got a new offense, too. He's never run a Gary Kubiak offense before.
Watch 10 different NFL shows or podcasts. Listen to him. Hear a lot of chumps talking. You'll never hear them talk about Paradise. You'll never hear them talk about the Broncos offensive line.
Max Garcia.
This is getting distasteful on our part, by the way.
I liked him in Rushmore.
You know who was talked about a lot at this point last year was the free agent who got paid the most money all last offseason. One of our old friends on the Around the NFL podcast, Jairus Byrd of the New Orleans Saints.
Jairus Byrd. Jairus Byrd.
Good to hear you, our old friend.
Anyway, you know, it's been a long time. We haven't heard that, partly because, you know, people aren't ready for the drops sometimes. Oh. But otherwise, it's because no one's heard. Where is Jairus Byrd?
That was a subtweet on podcast.
No one's seen Jairus Byrd in a long time. He actually was.
Wait, who?
He was back.
Who?
Who are we talking about?
Jairus Byard.
That guy.
Jairus Byard.
Very tough name to pronounce. Tough for him to get on the field. He had that back surgery last year. He had the knee surgery. Then he shows up to camp this year, and Sean Payton won't say what's wrong with him, but he just hasn't practiced at all. No one's seen him, and they won't even say what it is. Mm.
And he said last year that missing OTAs and missing some of training camp actually affected his chemistry a lot with the secondary.
Well, that was one of the under-the-radar Jairus Byard stories, is when he was on the field last year, he was a disaster. I mean, he's...
So was Kenny Vaccaro.
Right. He's been one of... I mean, it's early, but it's been a terrible, terrible signing. We didn't even mention that when we talked about the bad Saints signings. Not working out too well.
Let's throw out a couple more before we move on. Clay Matthews.
Stuck at inside linebacker. Didn't we kind of expect that would have been just a short-term thing?
Well, isn't he playing inside on early downs and then moving outside on passing downs?
Possibly. We'll see. But
seems like that could work well for
they're
them.
They're really not expecting – they think they're really bad at inside linebacker, and he's not moving, basically.
They are right.
It seemed like a move out of desperation, but it's just sticking now.
He can't be too thrilled about it. How about Hakeem Nicks, Titans wide receiver?
I feel like I'm on an island on this one. Nobody really wanted to sign him, and every time I read RotoWorld, they're killing him for being a bad player. I wrote an article late last year because when I watched the Colts film, he was making plays on a weekly basis for a 5 or 6 week stretch that he hadn't made since that Super Bowl run. I think he can play, and I think he could be the Titans right there with Kendall Wright as their two best receivers.
He said the Colts offense wasn't really his style. And that this system now is a little bit better for him.
I wrote, and
yes, you seemed perplexed.
I don't understand.
I wrote the Around the NFL post on it. It's like he will be the first and only guy to ever say the offense that had Andrew Luck in it wasn't the good fit for me. He wasn't blaming it on Luck, obviously, but still, if you're a wide receiver worth your salt, is that the expression?
This passing attack, whatever.
You gotta succeed in that offense, right?
What he meant to say was, I'm out playing Reggie Wayne by leaps and bounds every week, and they're still playing this jabroni 80 snaps a game.
I think
you know what? Reggie
gonna...
Wayne, that's a little disrespectful to us.
I think Nicks is going to start.
I feel like I gave a great tribute to Reggie Wayne last year. I think that gives me some leeway.
It was emotional.
Okay. You know what? You're right. Wes got choked up talking Reggie Wayne.
One last veteran that's impressed, kind of like Nick's, out of nowhere, Stevie Johnson. Looks like he's going to start in San Diego. Phillip Rivers loves him. People are talking up Stevie Johnson. Come back.
That's a mutual affection there. Stevie Johnson said the other day, I wish I had Phillip Rivers for my entire career. Mm. Mm.
All right. So that is, listen, that was way under the radar. You know those like action movies like, we can't see the Jets. Where are they? Oh, they're under the radar. That was us. We're that Jet.
That's good.
What movie was that?
It's like some Harrison Ford. Also ran film of 1988 or something.
Mm.
The president.
I missed that one.
Plane.
It's like when we can't see him on radar. Not
I
there.
I was thinking we're more like.
Oh, yeah, they are.
We're more like a souped up car in a 1978 Southern TV show sneaking by a cop waiting on the side of the road.
We're losing the audience, guys.
Oh, sorry.
All
right, now we move on. Listen, it's time to talk about Chris Wessling's latest think piece, Long Form. He wrote it about the Houston Oilers teams of the late 70s, early 80s. Love you, Blue Oilers. Wes, this was an opportunity for you to dig in on a really fun team of that era, but also you got into a little bit of the fan experience and what it's like to be a fan.
Well, this team is basically the relationship between the fans and this team. From what I did a lot of research, it never happened before or since in the history of professional sports. Mm. That a team lost in back-to-back years in the AFC Championship game and were welcomed back home from losses by crowds that were estimated anywhere from 50,000 to 300,000 people. They just turned out, and this team...
300?
300,000 people is what Dan Pastorini estimated from the airport. Cars along the highway, guys who were locked out of the gates of the stadium because it was already over capacity, and they were waiting in the streets behind barricades. So it was... Basically, what Robert Brazil, who John McClain is trying to get into the Hall of Fame this year, he was Lawrence Taylor before Lawrence Taylor, the first great 3-4 outside linebacker. He said, you know, you've heard of a welcome wagon. This was a welcome city. The entire city turned out to welcome them home. And it's a really cool team because Bum Phillips, to me, is the most fascinating coach in NFL history.
Wow.
He created a really good family atmosphere. He thought about football differently. He didn't think of it as a life and death thing. And was one of the best defensive minds of the era. So they were a winning team because of him. But treated his players like men. I think he is a fascinating dude, probably one of the funniest guys in
the industry. The line in your piece. I'm not sure you said it. You could let me know. But he kind of played up the country bumpkin angle, but he was really a smart guy. One person said he was dumb like a fox.
Yeah, Pastorini said that.
Yeah.
And one of the
– I read it too, Wes. How about that?
I know. Well, I knew you read it. I had full confidence that you read this one. One of the coolest things about it was talking to the guys. They were just really cool guys to talk to.
Earl Campbell you talked to?
Earl Campbell was cool. Pastorini is a really good storyteller. Mike Renfro couldn't have been nicer. Robert Brazil was great. And this article wouldn't have been nearly as good without John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, who put me in touch with all those guys, really.
I love the bumisms you have in here, too.
I sent Ali Bumpuri about 35 of those, maybe
our editor downstairs.
Maybe 50 or 60 of them, really, and he chose 5 of them.
Yeah,
yeah.
This
bum has the best one-liners in NFL history.
I didn't know much about this team at all, and I've read a lot of football books and really into it, so I learned a lot. I told Wes we've been reading great history football for a long time. Both of us love reading that stuff. Now Wes is writing it. Mm-hmm. You know, now Wes is on the other side. He's writing it. Mm-hmm. People go out there and read the article.
It's
fun.
I can't wait to read this.
I told Wes he's got to write a book eventually, and I want some of the profits.
Why would you get it?
Maybe I can.
What?
Hype man.
I convinced Shadow Elite Figures to let me tie all these long form pieces into one book.
Ooh, I like that.
That's no extra work then, technically.
What he should do, I've already.
Hey, my mom didn't raise no dummy.
He does, you know, the 6 or 7 long forms, and then he including 2 new ones.
Ooh.
Bang.
Wow.
Profit.
That hooks.
You know what you are now?
What?
My agent.
There we go. 10%, baby.
3%.
You could read all this. Vanity URL. That's when you know you did very well. NFL.com/Wes, you done did it again with your latest think piece.
NFL.com/LoveYaBlue. LUVYA, the color blue.
Ooh.
NFL.com/LUVYABLUE. That's correct?
Yes.
Read it. And, you know, Wes, great work.
Thank you, Dan.
The guy can write, all right? The guy can write, all right? So, Greg, maybe next time you just say, listen, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Wes. You can write, kid.
This is one of those sports radio.
Greg hired me.
I brought him from RotoWorld. I hired him twice.
All right.
What is happening?
Colleen, next time you doubt Wes,
listen,
why don't you read one of his long forms?
It's like one of those sports radio.
I do.
You can write.
I read his long forms.
I don't know who I'm mad at.
It's all those.
Somebody's not giving Wes enough credit.
It's all those chumps in the national media.
Yes. Yeah, that's who it is. You
jabronis. That's it.
It's one of those radio hosts. Yeah, I tell you what. I don't care about what people say. Tom Brady's a great quarterback. I don't care what they're saying out there. He can do it.
Thanks for taking a stand.
All right. So that's that. Hey, we got to bring him back because it's been too long. He is our Around the NFL New Jersey correspondent. He lives in a house that has a mortgage. He's only 26 years old or so, but he is a man wise behind his years. He is Connor Orr. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, everybody?
Hey, Connor.
So that's Connor. And if you know Connor's on there, you know it's time to do our semi-weekly segment where Connor gets something off his chest because life is hard, man. And Connor, he's running around. He's making those mortgage payments. He's got a fiance to deal with. He's covering Jets and Giants camps. Busy guy. So he's got to get it off his chest. And that's why we have a segment called, Are You Kidding Me? All right, Connor, this is your chance. Let it fly, baby.
Dan Hansis, I want to know, after finding out this week, like really finding out for the first time what went down between Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan, why don't we have awesome sports controversies anymore?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
That's a great point. We need more buzz.
Was this brought on by Drake and Meek Mill?
It was brought on by me reading the Tom Brady settlement. Mm-hmm. It was like 400 pages of like pithy emails and like, you know, it's ridiculous.
Pithy emails? Straight to my spam folder.
I mean, like, let's get real again. I mean, this girl's boyfriend like clubbed this lady, and I mean, it was, you know, I'm not going to say incredible, but it was relatively nothing too bad happened. She got to skate in the Olympics anyway. Like, let's get back to that. That's awesome.
So,
all right, yeah, let's unpack this a little bit.
What we're hearing from Connor is we need more goons taking people out by the legs.
You need more. I think what Connor's saying is you need more cartoonish violence and basically just kind of soap opera type storylines in the sports world. We're missing those right now.
I think it's like, you know, now everything creates the opportunity for someone to write like an 8,000 word think piece. And like, there's like, if something like that happened, it's just like, oh man, that's so ridiculous. Like, there's no think piece. It's just, this is hilarious and ridiculous.
Long form, more like long bore. What else you got, Connor? You got anything else?
Yes.
I mean, you know, we could go all day. You know, I also wanted to complain about the lack of Nick Lachey, but I can do that next week too.
Whoa,
you know?
the lack of?
No, let's just keep that one.
The 98 degrees crooner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's the most well-adjusted sports figure / boy band personality from the 90s, and we just let him disappear.
He's a sports figure?
Do we have, like, a flamenco guitar solo for the Nick Lachey hot take?
We let him disappear.
I know what Connor's getting at there.
He's a local hero in Cincinnati. When I was back there a few weeks ago, he had just opened up a restaurant. It's very nice. We walked by. Right.
Is it called 98 Degrees?
I think so. I think it might be called Lachey's.
So your final hot take, and I feel like I take responsibility for letting the segment go further here. Your take there, Connor, is Nick Lachey, put him back in the spotlight because he never deserved to leave.
Yeah, what are we doing? Like, what does Justin Timberlake bring to the conversation? Like, Nick Lachey's a hardcore USC fan. He knows a lot about Cincinnati basketball. I saw him at the Big East tournament once, just hanging out in, like, terrible seats. He's awesome. He's a great guy.
Seems like a genuinely good guy.
And he was the first man to marry Jessica Simpson. I'll leave it at that.
This does go back to Connor's really view on life in general. If you were nice to Connor in person, you were a good source. He's cool with you. If you ever at all went up to him, you're done.
Trusted sources for the win.
You're done, son.
All right, Connor. Well,
I mean, are we going to say it?
Oh, yeah. Stupid me. Thank you, Wes. What, you have anything else to say, Connor?
I have to say, were you kidding me?
Thank you, Connor.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
That was great.
That was awesome.
Classic.
I mean, here's the thing. Like,
classic or.
He ran the Nick Lachey thing by me last week. And I thought, like, I knew exactly what Connor was saying, but I didn't know if he would be able to summon the rage, how it grinds his gears. I didn't really sense the rage there. But the first topic, I know exactly what he's talking about. We need some proper controversies.
Mm.
Yeah, we need more of those. We need more people breaking people's legs before Olympics.
This is something that Damashek's been begging for a while. He really hates that the NFL is not more like WWF wrestling.
Well, the controversies are, you know, rather
tame,
humorless.
Yes.
Deflategate, a lot of legal stuff last year. I'll leave it at that. Bountygate wasn't exactly a ball
Twitter
of
beefs.
Laughs. It's a little too self-serious.
And even our friend, in a nutshell, Tony Romo, our friend yesterday, yeah, it was hard to get him to open up because these
very
guys won't
conservative
say anything anymore.
Everybody's buttoned up.
I blame Peyton Manning for everything.
I think you bring back the celebrations, and then it just trickles down from there.
All right, so Connor doing God's work. Before we go, TD, I want to cut you off at the pass here because we need to go over the results of the poll about your MVP segment, and take this however you will, but over 6,000 votes were cast, and 78% of our listenership says no more TD MVP segment. 4,782 votes against 1,366 saying it should stay. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, first of all, obviously it was rigged.
Well, let me throw something out.
You might be right. It was even for a few days.
It was
and then
even
suddenly
until
crazy.
I RT'd Dan's tweet. I think my fan base doesn't care for TD's MVP award.
Here's the thing. And TD, you have a point because it was about 50-50 for the first, I'd say, 12 to 18 hours. And then when we sent out the second tweet, I don't know if you have some enemies out there, but also
I get a lot of
became
enemies.
A runaway. So I think that decides it. Unless you want to have one more before we say goodbye to the segment. People have spoken.
I'll say this, Dan.
Yes.
What wise man was told me, if you don't have haters, you're doing it wrong. Mm. So you got to have haters.
Who secondly, told you that? Somebody who's really hated by a lot of people?
Yeah, probably. Secondly, that's why I gave it to Mark last time. I knew the segment was coming soon.
That was good by you.
Savvy.
But I would say this. So I had to do it one last time, and the drops are back, as we noted. And that's because not because I was not paying attention to the shows, because we have a whole lot more going on. Because starting next week, we're going to be on NFL Now, NFL.com, video shows.
Whoa.
All that. And you can watch some of it. Yeah, you can watch some of that stuff right now. And that is because the team behind the glass is putting in crazy work. And
that is very true.
Much better work than.
So you're giving yourself
well,
the
MVP?
Well, I'm not giving a celebration
myself. I'm giving the team behind the glass the MVP because that's, you know, it made the show a lot better. And
are we missing the real story here?
Sully and Brandon behind the glass. You know, a lot of people are doing the work, but those are the two guys that are right behind TD, and they do excellent jobs.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. 3 minutes ago, Wes said he had a fan base. That's the breaking news for the show.
So are you right? That fight over our heads.
Wes has now written two long forms, and the ego is just out of control.
My fan base.
My fan.
I can't believe I said that.
Wait, maybe we can you cut
Hollywood.
You cut
LA
that
is getting
I know.
You.
I can't believe I said my fan base.
Let's cut that and play it again at the end of the show so everybody can just soak in the exact moment that Wes was taken over by egomania.
It's so true.
All right.
I'm done.
All right. That's it. For Friday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast, Colleen Wolf, Connie Fox, thank you for all that.
Both of us had a great time.
Yes. make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Dan Hans is signing off for the Wolfman, the mailman, the boss, and everybody behind the glass. Till Monday.
I RT'd Dan's tweet. I think my fan base doesn't care for TD's MVP award.